Now, KRWG News, it's 7:45. There's a dangerous condition called cerebral cavernous angioma, and it's very prevalent among native New Mexicans. There's a conference being held in Las Cruces tomorrow by the Baca Family Historical Project to help determine whether you or a loved one could have this condition. Nora Chavez is the community outreach specialist for the project. Describe the condition for us.
So it's called a cerebral cavernous malformation, or CCM1. It's more commonly known here as the common Hispanic mutation. And what it does, it causes a weakening of the capillaries in the brain and in the spinal cord. So what happens is when there's a weakening, they get a sort of like a bubble effect with the blood pools in there. And it literally looks like a mulberry or a raspberry in the brain. Now, people can have hundreds of these in their brain, and they're tiny. I mean, tiny to the size of the end of a pinpoint. But it's not unless they get that actual weakening and they start getting the thin walls and engorging with blood that they cause a medical problem. When they start hemorrhaging, it can cause mini strokes, big strokes, seizures, neurological deficits, and of course even death if they don't seek any help.
Do you happen to know how many people are affected by it?
Well, we know there are thousands that have been already identified, and it's hard to tell the numbers because, you know, throughout the state, that's a lot of privileged information. But UNM, which has a center of excellence here in Albuquerque dealing specifically with this genetic mutation, estimates that there's about 30,000 undiagnosed people here in the Southwest. In New Mexico.
You can hear my full interview with Nora Chavez at krwg.org. There's lots more good information. The conference begins tomorrow at 10:30 at the Doñana County Workforce Center at 2345 East Nevada. BacaFamily.org has registration information. In recent years, universities and even some state legislatures have attempted to implement stricter laws that would punish political protesters who voice opposition in a public setting. Commentator Algernon DeMassa shares his thoughts on the issue.
A student protest interrupted the first orientation event at the college where I transferred as a freshman a long time ago. Seeing a table set up with a live microphone, two students, part of a group petitioning the university administration over budget priorities and other policies, well, they seized their opportunity. Nearly 30 years have passed since that January morning, and I don't remember much of what they said beyond the speaker's opening words. As she seized the microphone, she said, "Maybe we need to be impolite." Faculty and administrators in the room responded by listening while continuing to eat. At that small liberal arts college in New York City, talk of career building was secondary to personal development, to exploring disciplines and ideas about the world. Whatever individual opinions my professors held, most respected political organizing and protest as an educative and social experience. Well, this month, a group of UCLA students were acquitted by a jury after facing prison time for being impolite when U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin spoke at their campus in 2018. After interrupting the secretary's speech, the students were not merely removed from the auditorium, but arrested, charged with several crimes, and temporarily banned from campus. The distance between heckling a speaker at a public forum and more serious acts of civil disobedience has been truncated, and the implications are dangerous for universities and society beyond campus. Much has changed since the years I was involved in political demonstrations in New York and Los Angeles, but over the last two decades, tougher policing and legislative efforts have made protest a scarier, costlier gamble for citizens. Violent crackdowns on nonviolent protesters are more brazen, while legislators in several states have introduced bills seeking criminal penalties for nonviolent protest. Journalists covering pipeline protests and demonstrations at President Donald Trump's inauguration have been charged with rioting. And in the name of free speech and civility, lawmakers have tried to legislate how public universities control protest and punish students, particularly when it comes to interrupting speakers. The argument behind these laws is over whose liberty needs to be protected most. it also advances a deceptive notion of civility. What has not changed since I was in college protesting the Persian Gulf War is the need on occasion to be impolite, and the necessity for universities to push back against efforts to define free speech in a way that favors the powerful and punishes dissent, even when that dissent is heated or disruptive. This is not a defense of preemptively silencing everyone with whom we disagree. It's a warning against overreaching and disingenuous notions of free speech that equate civility with being quiet in the presence of the powerful. With the weekly Desert Sage Commentary, I'm Algernon Damassa.
Algernon Damassa's columns appear in the Las Cruces Sun News and at KRWG.org. Damassa's opinions are his own and do not necessarily reflect those of KRWG Public Media or NMSU.